Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC Studios, I'm Brian Lehrer. This is my Daily Politics Podcast. It's Friday, April 7th. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We want to open the phones now for anyone who wants to react to last night's expulsion of two young black Tennessee State House of Representatives members, Representatives Justin Jones and Justin Pearson. They had helped lead a protest in the chamber over the lack of gun control laws in the state after the school shooting in Nashville that left six people dead. They did not incite violence by anybody's account. They did not post photos of themselves holding baseball bats to their opponents' heads, just to take a random example of another instance, or say their protest would be wild. There was no violence. Here's a little bit of how it sounded on the Tennessee House floor as one of the expulsions was announced.
Pursuant to Article 2, Section 12 of the Constitution of the State of Tennessee, I hereby declare Representative Justin J. Pearson of the 86th Representative District expelled from the House of Representatives of the 103rd General Assembly of the State of Tennessee.
And you can hear the many protesters objecting in the background. As your calls are coming in, we also do have a guest with us for this. It's Blaise Gainey, political reporter for Nashville's public radio station, WPLN. Blaise, thanks for joining us on short notice. And while your state is in the middle of all this, welcome to WNYC. Hello from New York.
Hello, how are you?
Good, thanks. Can you describe, first of all, for listeners outside of Tennessee who may have only heard about this whole issue for the first time last night or this morning, the protests that the three representatives participated in?
Yeah, so they went to the podium called the Well to speak during a time when they weren't supposed to bring attention to the thousands of protesters that were surrounding the Capitol and inside of the Capitol, calling for the legislators to act on some sort of gun reform after this the school shooting at Covenant that left six dead, three of them nine-year-olds. So, you know, they've been saying the whole time that their actions were only to uplift the voices that the Republican leadership, for the most part, we're ignoring. The day of the shooting, they had a session. They adjourned after a moment of silence. They didn't mention the shooting at all. And then the rest of the week, committees went on as normal. On Thursday, with thousands of protesters there, they continued to ignore the topic that constituents and people inside of the building that day wanted to be talked about.
How much of a protest movement has there been in Tennessee since the Nashville school shooting, especially by young people?
It's incredible numbers of young people almost every single day at the Capitol. I'm here usually every day, and there's usually only adults, lobbyists, and representatives and news reporters walking around. But now you may run into a group of high school or middle school or even elementary kids that are here with their parents. There's even at the protest on last Thursday, and I'm sure I just didn't see it yesterday, but there were parents here with babies. I mean, with strollers, parents are really upset about this, and so are the students that have to go to school. I actually talked to one young 11-year-old, can't remember his name right now, but, you know, he let me know, like, it's scary. He every day now, when he goes to school, he thinks about, you know, not coming home.
What's happening today? I could imagine that after the expulsions added fuel to the fire of protesters' emotions after the original school shooting and the legislature not doing anything about gun reform, that people must be even more inflamed, not to mention it's a day off from school. Good Friday. Not to mention it's a day off from school in honor of a person who was crucified for representing the downtrodden, shall we say. So what's happening today?
You know, actually, I have not heard about a lot of protests today, but part of that is probably because on Fridays, the legislators don't meet until later into session when they're trying to wrap up. So I would expect protest to pick right back up on Monday when they have a session, and next Thursday. I mean, my guess is that this won't stop anytime soon.
In fact, I've been seeing comparisons, Blaze, to the civil rights era, and that it wasn't necessarily just the righteousness of the issue of voting rights alone that led to the Voting Rights Act, as an example from 1965, but the Southern states' overreaction, in that case in the form of police violence, that sparked lawmakers from around the country to finally vote for the Voting Rights Act in Congress. Is it too early to say if this assault on democracy, as it's so widely being perceived, might help bring gun control to Tennessee?
I think it, if any indication from the Republicans so far, who are in the supermajority, they have all the power here to pass laws, they have not brought up any gun legislation that people are calling for. The Democrats have proposed five bills that are would ban assault weapons, ban bump stocks, enact a sort of red flag law here in the state, and also bring back permitted carry. Right now we have permitless carry in the state. And, you know, before this happened, lawmakers were moving pretty quick to pass a law that would actually allow 18-year-olds to permitless carry. Right now you have to be 21 and over to do it. So, you know, they've actually been going in the exact opposite direction of loosening restrictions even more in a state where you can probably buy an AR-15 in a Publix parking lot.
Before we take some calls with you, Blaze, the act of expulsion is so extreme and from what I've read, so rare in Tennessee legislature history. How did it come to this and how rare is it?
There's only been, I believe, from what I saw, two members of the House, but somebody did say three. They could have misspoke, but I've only seen two members of the House expelled. One was in 2016. It was Jeffrey Durham, I believe his name is, and he was accused of sexual assault by more than 20 women. In that process, to get him expelled took months. It wasn't 1 week. Like the two black men that were expelled last night. And the person before that was in the 80s. And they were accused or found guilty of bribing another lawmaker to essentially buy their vote. So, you know, the rarity of this, it's only happened two times in a span of, 50 years before last night when they did two in one night. And I think, you know, the racial factor in this is it can't go unnoticed. I mean, the three members who went to the well, two black, one white, all participated in the same act. I mean, if I was to rob a bank with two friends, all of us are an accessory to that crime, no matter who held the gun or put the money in the bag. But in this case, they saw it fit to only expel the two black lawmakers instead of the one Caucasian woman.
How do you think that could be explained? Is it an overt act of let's get the black guys, or is it a little more implicit in terms of the same acts committed by a black person are perceived as more threatening or more serious than the same act committed by a white person?
You know, I think you said that beautifully. I think that second one, the same act committed by a Caucasian person or a white person is not seen the same, you know, as when a black person does it. You know, also, I think, you know, even, you know, and I'm only saying this because Representative Gloria Smith, the white woman who was not expelled, said this herself, and so have several lawmakers. They've actually likened what happened last night to sort of a Jim Crow era type of legal battle where if you were watching, you could see lawmakers, Representative Andrew Farmer for sure, was, you know, pointing at Representative Justin Pearson in a way that just was unsettling. Some of the way that they asked the questions also just, it was way more aggressive, their tone, and just at some points just came off straight up disrespectful.
What would the legislators who voted overwhelmingly, it is an overwhelmingly Republican House, and they voted overwhelmingly for these two expulsions. They also voted overwhelmingly to expel that third person, the white woman, Gloria Johnson, and she only survived by one vote because they didn't get the two-thirds. Yeah. It was still an overwhelming vote against her. So what would you say to the caller's assertion that this is really just to silence dissent, which makes it a fundamental democracy issue?
I mean, I think, you know, that was spoken very eloquently. It is true that, you know, they brought up issues of gun control on that day, but they've brought up issues with the system here in the Tennessee House several times. In fact, Representative Tory Harris, who was not up for expulsion last night, talked about how when he first got here, he would be ignored a lot of times on committees. When he wanted to ask a question, he's also openly gay black man that lives here in Tennessee. And, you know, he talked about having tough times on committees. In fact, he even talked about asking to be taken off of a committee because he just felt uncomfortable being there. And just last week, Senator Hensley, who was also a Tennessean white man, wore a tie that has inspirations from the Confederate flag. I think there was also Representative Paul Sherrill, who earlier this session tried to add an amendment to allow death by tree, by hanging, essentially trying to bring back lynching as a way to kill prisoners who are on the death penalty. So I think that it's no secret here, if you've been covering the Tennessee General Assembly or just paying, you know, minor attention to it, they make the news almost every other week about, you know, these racist aggressions. And I want to say minor, but I don't think they are minor. I think, you know, people have to really take notice to what is going on here. And I definitely agree that this is definitely not American democracy. At least not how it's supposed to be run. And, you know, what people do overseas, this does seem no different.
Let's go next to Shelley in Westport, Connecticut. You're on WNYC. Hi, Shelley.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I was watching on C-SPAN as they covered the actual discussion going on inside before the voting, and I was so impressed by the three people that had been put on trial, so to speak. But as was pointed out, during that, quote, trial, they were not given due process. Other cases, as has been cited, took months for them to determine what would happen. Furthermore, as Mr. Pearson read from the rules of order, it turns out it was not a rule that he broke, even that they made him apologize for. Turns out he didn't break a rule. Second of all, if he did break a rule, if any of them broke a rule, censure was the punishment prescribed in their own documentation.
Shelley, thank you very much. Yeah, Blaze, they did break a rule, right? They using a megaphone or what? Technically, on paper, what rules of the legislature did they actually break?
So they're not supposed to go to the well without being recognized. They started approaching the well, and about 5 seconds, or maybe even 20 seconds after they were at the well and speaking, the House Speaker went into recess. So anything after they went into recess, the rules don't apply. But I believe that you're not supposed to bring prompts. So bringing the megaphone out, or bringing a sign out would have been against it. I have not reviewed the tape to see exactly when they brought those items out, but I think like the person said before, breaking a rule, which I believe somebody even said that rules are broken all the time. House Speaker Cameron Sexton, I believe, told us that people break rules all the time in committee. And, they just get told not to do it again. But in this case, they saw it fit for some reason. And House Speaker Cameron Sexton said this, that, you know, they deserve expulsion. They never, at least it seems as if he never thought of censure being enough. And, you know, after already removing all the lawmakers from their committees, he saw it fit to expel them, which I think another thing that should be pointed out is the fact that, you know, the Democrats here are in a minority, a super minority. They can't pass a bill without Republican support. I mean, you saw last night there was it was nothing they could do to stop their members from being expelled. So it really would not have hurt if they just censured them and allowed them to still stay on as voting members. So I think really all last night was them sending a message to any other young black people who aspire to be in politics that Tennessee is not the place for them.
One of the Republican leaders called the act a mutiny. I'm curious if any of those same Republican leaders, and I know this is a state legislature, they're not in federal politics, national politics, but if anybody asked them to compare what these lawmakers did on the floor to former President Trump posting a picture of himself holding a baseball bat to the head of the Manhattan DA or predicting that there would be death and destruction if he was indicted. Are they defending Trump? Is there any way to know?
There is no way. I haven't seen any of them currently defend Trump, although many of them, you know, being of the Republican Party, have definitely sided with Trump in the past. And, you know, a lot of their cues do come from people that also, you know, aspire to, you know, elect Trump again in the future. So it wouldn't be surprising to me that, you know, they don't see anything that Trump did as bad. And for some reason, what these lawmakers did is possibly worse, as Cameron Sexton said, than the insurrection at the Capitol, the U.S. Capitol.
Last question, and I know you got to go, and I know you're in the middle of reporting this, and you've very generously donated some time to us today. Is Tennessee becoming the most radical right-wing state in the union? This happened in the Tennessee House just yesterday. We were talking about the Tennessee Senate going further than even most other red states in their campaign against trans rights and passing a bill that actually defined sex as an immutable trait identified at birth, denying trans people even recognition under the law as existing. And I know it's got a near total ban on abortion now. What's up with the Tennessee legislature compared even to other right-wing states, if you report enough in a national context to make any comparisons?
Well, you know, I actually feel like my career has given me the opportunity to answer this question perfectly, because I, you know, before coming here to Tennessee, I was in Florida. And I was there under Governor Ron DeSantis and Governor Rick Scott. And I will say I've been here for nearly 2 years. And my friend texted me this morning and said, it looks like Tennessee is number one when it comes to the most racist states. And I couldn't disagree with him. You know, Florida was pretty bad, and Florida has its ways, and everybody talks about Florida a lot, Florida man. But I think Tennessee has reached a new level of very overtly being racist. Now, I will say that I don't think that these lawmakers, House Speaker Cameron Sexton, Representative William Lambert, are acting any different than what their constituents want them to act like. If you go to their Twitter pages and look at their comments, or even other Twitter pages, you can go to my Twitter page and see some of the comments. You can sort of tell who aligns with what side just by simply reading. It's a lot of people. It's a enough people comment that I can tell there is a lot of people in the state that are totally fine with the expulsion. So I do think that Tennessee has become one of the, you know, whatever you ask me.
Blaise Gainey, political reporter for Nashville's public radio station, WPLN. Blaise, thanks again. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer, a daily politics podcast, is an excerpt from my live daily radio show, The Brian Lehrer Show, on WNYC Radio, 10 a.m. to noon Eastern Time, if you want to listen live at WNYC.org. Thanks for listening today. Talk to you next time.